This interview is brought to you by WatchAndWager.com.
At WatchAndWager.com, you'll find more racing action than any other ADW in America, with a $300 sign-up bonus, along with an additional $10 deposit bonus free when you make your first deposit via ACH, WatchAndWager.com is the place to play. Plus, WatchAndWager now offers all New York tracks and is available to California residents. WatchAndWager.com, licensed, regulated, and trusted in the USA.
And Cot Campbell, Dogwood Stable, who has been so instrumental in this sport for so many years. They own Palace Malice, and Cot, nice enough to join us live at Saratoga this morning. Cot, thanks for taking some time on a very busy morning for you.
Well, it is a busy morning, and I'm delighted to be with you. It's great fun.
Yeah, happy to have you with us here. And when you think about the Whitney Handicap, and you think about names like C.V. Whitney and Rokeby Stable and A.G. Vanderbilt and names like Ogden Phipps come to mind, what would it mean to have Cot Campbell and Dogwood Stable as part of that Whitney legacy today?
Well, it'd be wonderful. I'm an old-time racing guy and a traditionalist, and I love the Whitney. I love being at Saratoga, which has been operating since the Battle of Gettysburg. And so the whole place and the whole event reeks with tradition, and it would mean so much to me. It would put a big A-plus on my report card.
When was the first time you came to Saratoga?
71. Came up here in 1971 with a $5,000 claimer and been coming back ever since.
Cot, as a race caller, you know, we're always looking at the silks of the horses in there. And when people ask me, you know, what are your favorite ones, the iconic ones, and I always mention, well, you know, the Phipps colors with the black and the cherry cap, and I always seem to mention Dogwood next. And I love those green and yellow colors. Did you design them yourself?
I guess Ann and I did, without a great deal of scientific background. We just hauled off and drew them and went with them. And they are good colors. You can see them. And,
you sure can.
They mean a lot to me. And while I'm at it, let me tell you, speaking of race calling, There's none better than you. You do a wonderful job. We're lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I've had an opportunity to call a good deal of your horses over the years, and I always enjoy those Dogwood colors. And I don't think that we've seen one, though, that is good as this one. Have we? Is he the best ever? I know Summer Squall was pretty darn good, but isn't he the best one?
I would guess that he might be. You always hate to say that. You know, it's like saying this child is better than another one. But he's a hellacious racehorse, Palace Malice. And Summer Squall was wonderful. He came along at a time that was very important, and he won some great races. And he was not as sound a horse as Palace Malice and was more complicated. Palace Malice is, he understands racing. He's sound. He doesn't care where he is, what kind of racetrack he's on. He's been on seven different ones, and he just goes about his job. Admittedly, having made some mistakes last year, but he hadn't made any this year.
No, he has not. Yeah, I remember Todd was telling people when he was two that he was his best two-year-old, but he really wasn't. He wasn't. Yeah. Everybody's like, come on, he can't possibly be your best two-year-old. It just took him a while to figure it out.
That's right. Let's get started. But when he did, he got the hang of it.
He sure did.
When did you first know he was special, Cot?
Well, of course, I liked him when I bought him, but I've liked a lot of them when I bought them, and they didn't all turn out to be stars. But we had him in Aiken for about 2 months, right after I bought him at a two-year-old sale in April at Keeneland, and he showed a lot. You know, he was a classy kind, and then when he got up to Todd, they got serious with him, and we kept getting good reports. So I think early on, Todd identified him as you say, one of the best horses in his barn.
I was just looking into this earlier this morning, and we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but there's a thing at the end of the year called Horse of the Year, and an older male dirt horse has not been Horse of the Year since Palace Malice's sire Curlin won it. Over the past few years, it's been, you know, fillies and mares that have won it, Rachel Alexandra, Havre de Grace, and Zenyatta, and of course Wise Dan the last couple of years being a grass horse. wouldn't it be nice to go back to that old tradition with the older male dirt horse being horse of the year? And I'm sure you would like it, especially this year if it was your horse. But I think it's cool that maybe that division is making a comeback and you guys could be at the head of that list.
Well, we could. And interestingly, I made a $5,000 bet in Las Vegas at 12-1 that he would be horse of the year.
Oh, do you really want to win it then?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I tried to lay that bet in January, but they said we can't take a bet based on a ballot. We'll have to get special dispensation. And they did. But it took them 3 months, and in the meantime, we'd won 3 stakes. So the odds...
What are the odds now in Vegas?
5-2.
Yeah.
And we got 12-1. And but if I could have got it in January, I bet I'd have got 40-1.
That's a wise investment.
Oh, absolutely.
It looks good now, doesn't it?
Visiting with Cott Campbell, Dogwood Stable, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, Palace Malice going to the post in the Whitney Handicap later on this afternoon. Our coverage coming up 5 o'clock Eastern Time. Cott, last year he finishes behind some of these horses in the signature race at Saratoga, the Travers. How is Palace Malice different now than he was before the Travers?
Well, he broke badly a few times last year. He did that in the Breeders' Cup, and he did it in that race, certainly. And then I think, I wish in hindsight Mike had moved him into contention a little bit earlier. He broke badly. He sat behind a slow pace, and I think he might have eased on into contention a little earlier than he did, but he didn't, and he just got beat three quarters of a length. But he's... Johnny's good about getting him out of the gate, and the horse has learned himself, so I hope he'll leave on time. He's got a good post position, I think.
Yeah, it looks like Marino's got to go out there, and I know his trainer, Eric Eo, has said that's the game plan for them to go out winging on the lead. Where would you like to be? Just right behind him?
Or? I'd like to be third, maybe on the outside with Marino, and maybe It's My Lucky Day or somebody, and us laying right behind us. That would be lovely. Seeing that in the middle of the first turn.
Cott, after the Belmont, you told me you returned home to a parade in Aiken, South Carolina. What kind of parade do you think you'll get when you return home if you can be Horse of the Year?
Well, it would be enormous. You can't imagine how that community is. While he was there this winter, we had as many as 500 people come out to watch him gallop.
Wow.
And every day at 1:30, we brought him out and grazed him. And there'd be 40 or 50 people watching him eat grass. And the community has just gone wild over him. What a wonderful thing it is. And, you know, when we won the Belmont, I said there'll be dancing in the street in Aiken. And when we got back the next day, I swear to goodness, when we hit the main intersection in Aiken, they had a loudspeaker system playing New York, New York, and people were dancing in the street.
Oh, man.
It was great.
That's some fantastic stuff. So I obviously it would mean a lot to the people of Aiken, and it would mean a lot to your bankroll with this future bet that you have. But what about the Dogwood Stable? If Palace Malice becomes Horse of the Year, what does that mean to Cott Campbell and to Dogwood Stable?
Well, it would be wonderful. It comes along in the twilight of my career, and we've had a wonderful life and a wonderful career, I think, and it would just be another marvelous thing. I would be very grateful for it. And but I'll tell you this, if it doesn't come along, I can live with that. I'm not one that broods over losses, and I think he'll run a heck of a race, and I hope to goodness he wins, but I can, as Woody Stevens used to say, the sun will come up tomorrow.
Hey, what's the one race that you haven't won that you really want to win more than any other?
Well, I'd love to win the Breeders' Cup Classic, of course. We did win a Breeders' Cup with Storm Song, a daughter of Summer Squall some years ago, but I'd sure like to win the Classic.
Cott, when you think back on your career and you have a little time to be alone and reflect, what are you most proud of?
I think I'm proud of having known people in every aspect of racing. I make a point of knowing hot walkers and knowing the names of grooms, and some of the little guys in racing. We used to give an award called the Dominion Award.
I remember that.
Yeah, and we after 17 years, we quit doing it. But it went to an unsung hero in racing, and it could be a groom or it could be a car park attendant or somebody that did something great for racing.
So, I remember who the car park attendant was, Salty Roberts.
Salty Roberts was the first one, absolutely. He was a standout.
Worked the parking lot at Monmouth Park and all those years, Salty and Sterling Anafanis. And
yeah.
We'd pull into that lot and they always get greeted with a smile from Salty.
Yeah, yeah. And then the next year was a guy named Jello Hall.
Yeah, from Maryland.
Right. Yeah, great jocks agent. So I'm proud of that, and it's just been a wonderful life for me. I'm grateful for what I've had.
Yeah, how about your favorite memory, Kai? I know there's so many memorable moments, but the one that stands out to you that you say, boy, that was really special.
It was at Saratoga, and in 1978, we had started in 73 with the partnership concept, which was really not embraced by the old guard in racing. You know, they were a little bit standoffish about that. But we had a wonderful old horse that I bought in England. His name was Dominion, and he danced every dance on Saturday afternoon in this country. I mean, he went from Chicago to Miami and Saratoga to New Orleans, and he was just a wonderful horse, and he won the Bernard Baruch and beat Mac Miller, my good friend, in the process. And I remember walking through the box section, and you could just feel the thaw. You know, people sort of said, gee, you know, these people are okay. This is a pretty good arrangement. And so that, I think, sparked the development of the partnership concept. And it meant so much to me.
Yeah, they're all over the place now. There's partnerships galore, but back then you were the originator, right?
Yes, I was. I stumbled into the idea many years ago. It seemed to make sense. And I thought, gee, well, let's do that. I was in another business, desperate to have a horse. So I formed a partnership, and I had a good horse, a filly named Mrs. Cornwallis, who won 3 or 4 stakes and was one of the best of her generation. So she put me in the horse business because Wall Street Journal and Forbes and Fortune wrote about this new concept. And so we did start it, and then gradually others came in, Centennial, West Point, many, many others. And I bet you 65% of the outfits today, or of the horses today, are owned by partnerships.
Well, Cot Campbell, you are a true gentleman. You've always been very gracious with your time. Anytime I've called you and asked you to join me on the show, can't thank you enough for that. You're a tremendous ambassador for the sport of racing. I really wish you wouldn't retire, though. You're going to be missed, but I know you'll be around the track. I know you'll be around the game quite a bit, and thank you so much for being here with us today. All the best with Palace Malice this afternoon.
Thank you, and I've loved being with you.